So one important but not terribly surprising headline, but three stories behind the headline this morning. As expected, Al-Qaeda's longtime number two, Ayman al-Zahrawi, was announced on some jihadist websites, takes over as the new leader of Al-Qaeda. But among the three stories behind the story, well, number one, being named Al-Qaeda's leader and announcing it on a jihadist website might be kind of like painting a bullseye around you.
Right.
Based on what happened to Osama bin Laden.
You could argue there was already a bullseye on Ayman al-Zawahiri.
Although it's to specify particularly raises the stakes, it seems.
True.
Number two, this is clearly going to be more pressure on the government of Pakistan because it's believed that Ayman al-Zawahiri is in Pakistan. So if the Osama bin Laden raid is any indication, the pressure is on Pakistan. And finally, this did take a little while. So why would Ayman al-Zawahiri have difficulty mobilizing a constituency and getting himself named number one after the death of Osama bin Laden? What's going on internally in al-Qaeda? Here to answer all of that, or maybe some of that, hopefully not none of that, is our good friend Christine Fair, assistant professor at Georgetown Center for Peace and Security Studies, joining us from Washington. Christine, it's great to hear from you again.
Thank you for having me again.
What do you think is the most important thing here? The Pakistan-U.S. relationship pressure that Zawahiri's presence apparently in Pakistan is going to have, or just the fact that, you know, he's obviously going to be a target now?
Well, he's been a target. But the very first drone strike that the United States launched in Pakistan in 2006 was in Bajor, and that was to take him out. He was hiding out in a madrasa up there with some allied militant groups that eventually took over SWAT back in 2009. So, you know, he certainly was a target first going in, and he remains a target. There's a really big difference, though, between now and 2006. In 2006, we had President Musharraf. He and President Bush were quite close. They were, you know, the respective scoundrels in chief. And in the subsequent intervening years, the U.S.-Pakistan relationship has come under a tremendous amount of strain. And I think it's going to be a lot more difficult for the U.S. to do what it wants to do in Pakistan. Every single action that the U.S. takes just has an equal negative reaction in Pakistan. So, yeah, the pressure is going to remain, but the relationship is really just at a very fraught breaking point. It's difficult to imagine how this relationship is going to continue.
So the pressure stays, but the takeaway, it sounds like you're saying, is that this roll-up of CIA operatives and informants might actually make it more difficult for the U.S. to actually know where Ayman al-Zawahiri is, let alone get enough cooperation inside Pakistan to carry out the kind of strike that took out Osama bin Laden, yes?
Yeah, and that was exactly the point of them going after people that had collaborated with the CIA. You know, Americans were kind of, you know, that was a whiskey tango foxtrot for a lot of Americans. It's like, wait a minute, you're going after the dude that helped us get bin Laden. Shouldn't you be trying to figure out who are the dudes that helped bin Laden stay? But it's a fair question. But from the Pakistani point of view, and quite frankly, we would do the same thing if we found out that Americans were collaborating with a foreign intelligence agency. This is what countries do. And the stakes for Pakistan are really quite high because while we collaborate on an increasingly narrow bandwidth of issues, what the CIA really wants to do is take out a lot of the groups that the Pakistani intelligence agency, the ISI, relies upon. So we're talking about Lashkar-e-Taiba, the Afghan Taliban, the Haqqani network. And what the ISI really doesn't want to happen is to have the CIA operate unilaterally against what Pakistan thinks are its assets that we think are its enemies. And then, of course, there's a sovereignty issue here. The Pakistanis were really quite humiliated by the Osama bin Laden raid. Yeah, it's true that bin Laden was there after the government had said they weren't that they were certain bin Laden wasn't there for 10 years. That wasn't the humiliating part for most Pakistanis. For most Pakistanis, the humiliating part was that Americans came in, three helicopters, had a 40-minute firefight, including blowing up a helicopter a mile and a half away from Pakistan.
Yeah, and then flew out of the country. Christine Fair is an assistant professor.
Before they even scrabbled their
right. He's assistant professor at Georgetown Center for Peace and Security Studies. I wonder, Christine, with the amount of time it took to make Ayman al-Zawahiri the head of al-Qaeda that John was talking about. And with the number of people who know al-Qaeda saying that al-Zawahiri was not seen as the best leader to take over, I wonder if he's at this point less important as a sort of spiritual leader for this jihadist group than, say, Anwar al-Awlaki in Yemen.
Yeah, so no, this is where, you know, I'm strictly speaking a South Asianist. And so I'm probably not terribly well positioned to speak on larger issues of al-Qaeda leadership. There was some discussion of, look, here's the bottom line, right? This I can say about Zawahiri. Anyone who watches Zawahiri, his biggest drawback is that he is as boring as a rock. And what bin Laden had, among other things, was that even in his old age, you know, of course he's slapping on the hair goo, and as we saw from his footage, he could really dress up, dye his beard away from some senescent gray, and he could really bring on the charisma. He had a certain appeal that really spanned ethnicity, age, and so forth. Zawahiri is an aged, boring doctor with absolutely no appeal whatsoever.
And both of them, we should point out, Arabs. Osama bin Laden, of course, of Yemeni background, but Saudi national, Egyptian-born, yeah. Ayman al-Zawahiri. Neither of these guys are Pakistanis. Even al-Awlaki is not Pakistani.
No, there was some question about Ilyas Kashmiri, possibly. And, of course, he was what we believe, because you'll never get confirmation of this, because if he was taken out by a drone, he would have been incinerated. But Ilyas Kashmiri, he was a Pakistani. He had a lot of the, if you were to sort of go through the help wanted ad, he would click a lot of the boxes that you might be interested in. He had a long established career as a provocative jihadist. He had a lot of charisma. He, in his own little jihadi way, had a certain sort of appeal to the streets. You know, he had
right.
his flowing hair. He had his aviator glasses.
Sure.
He could actually generate enthusiasm in a way that Zawahiri can't. So I'm really happy with
gotcha.
This choice in some sense.
It's because of the boring nature of al-Zawahiri. You know, it's a kind of a whiskey tango foxtrot moment here in this conversation. Are you saying there's a monster.com for terrorists at al-Qaeda, Christine Fair?
Well, of course there is. I mean, we're foolish if we don't. These organizations are hirers of labor like anyone else.
Indeed. It's a fantastic point. Christine, we got to go, unfortunately. Christine Fair, assistant professor at Georgetown Center for Peace and Security Studies, talking about al-Qaeda's leadership and its recruitment. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.